Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, in the bill here, up coins, hell bro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the counselor, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Why would they do that? And my grandmother said, some people just have to act ugly. But when I decoded, racism is about white genetic survival on the planet. It just popped into my brain computer. Oh, now I understand lynching and castration. Lynching of a black man would occur usually behind saying he looked at a white woman. Is that right? Or he thought he wanted to look. Or he was thinking about somebody else looking. This, if the problem is about genetics, maybe some people can't see the blackboard. I put a diagram. of male genitalia. If white people are afraid, the global white collective is afraid of genetic annihilation, they are automatically talking about male genitalia. Because these are the testicles, and this is where the genetic material is. Now, I hear some ladies saying, well, why didn't she put the female genitalia on the board? Maybe she doesn't know how to draw it. The reason that I didn't put the female genitalia on, because everybody has to master this. This is a very important part of the understanding. Men and women are equal human beings, but we are not the same. The Creator decided that we should not be the same. Males can impose sexual intercourse. If you look around and see all these beautiful different colors, it was because white slave masters imposed themselves on African women. Males can impose themselves, white, black, brown, red, or yellow. God forbid that they should ever think of doing that, but nonetheless, that is factual. Women cannot impose sexual intercourse. Or can they? This is a lesson in physiology class. Try it. See, I didn't say cannot entice, influence. I said impose, meaning make. Make the gentleman have sexual intercourse. Even if he says he has to go home. No, you run to your purse and pull out your Uzi. And you say, I'm going to make you. What will happen, gentlemen? That's basic physiology. If you frighten the gentleman, really frighten him. So racism is about oppressing all people of color. But it is more particularly about black people. And it is even more particularly about black gentlemen. Because the lady cannot force the white male into sexual genetic annihilation. But the fear in the mind of the global white collective is that the black gentleman can cause white genetic annihilation. So when that white male brain computer looks at the black male, his subconscious is dictating he has weapon, can annihilate me. Must attack it. Cut it off. Do you all understand? So nobody ever has to say, well, I don't understand that. And we more recently had the case of Jeffrey Dahmer. He was cutting black men up. And he couldn't get enough just cutting them up. He had to eat them, including their genitalia. In addition to working in a chocolate factory. Are those the facts in the case? Those are the facts in the case. Are you all with me? See, we are coming up on, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, Valentine's Day, in the white supremacy system and culture. See, that's what we must learn to say. We are coming upon Black History Month in the white supremacy system and culture, so therefore we understand why we only look at ourselves for 1 month. Do you follow what I'm saying? And we look at white 11 months. But we are coming upon the day that is about love, supposedly. What is the favorite gift? Chocolate candy with nuts, hopefully. And because we don't understand the symbolism as Black ladies, we say, well, we want some chocolate too. Not realizing that we've got chocolate at home. See, indeed, if you understand what I'm saying, you will also understand why in the white supremacy system and culture, all of the favorite drinks are dark brown. Coffee, tea, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. And the white lady on TV says, I can't get started in the morning. Until she's talking to the white man, her husband. This thing. I can't get started in the morning until I have some Folgers in my cup. It's so dark and rich. Is that the ad? Do you all follow me? So let's go back. I thought I had an eraser. Oh, here it is. Because I'm giving this with a little humor, but all of this is serious. All of this is very, very serious because we're talking about what exactly is the nature of the war that is being waged against us that we haven't understood clearly to date. But we are moving on understanding. If we understand the importance of the male genitalia, Black male genitalia, as being viewed as that which can cause white genetic annihilation, we will understand the importance of the gun, police officers. If we look at the front view of male genitalia, it looks like this. The lateral view looks like this. Just think about the lateral view for people who are far away. If you turn that around 90 degrees, what do you have? A gun. A gun. Guns are the most important thing in the white supremacy system and culture. Because the white brain computer says, he has weapon, can annihilate me. Must create weapon, can do same thing. In other words, the white genetic material is recessive. It cannot cause Black genetic annihilation. But the white brain computer came up with gun. Can make gun. And what do they call the gun? The great equalizer. See, these terms are not idle expressions. We treat them as idle expressions. But they come from the subconscious because the problem, the fear of white genetic annihilation is not talked about overtly. In other words, you don't hear big discussions on TV. We are genetic recessive and we're afraid of white genetic annihilation. You don't hear that being discussed. You just hear everybody needs a gun. 200 million guns in the hands of people in this era of the world, and they're not just in the hands or mostly in the hands of people who are classified as black or otherwise non-white. So the great equalizer, and from that awareness comes the term justifiable homicide. Justifiable homicide, somebody might say, well, the definition of that is when you have to shoot somebody. The term comes from people who are in uniform in the white supremacy system and culture who classify themselves as white, who see a black man and say, I thought he had a weapon. He does. That's where that statement comes from at the subconscious level. I thought he had a weapon. And then they will say, I thought he had a knife. Or I thought he had a gun. But it comes from the deeper subconscious fear of genetic annihilation. There's no history, as far as I know, of black males in uniform killing white men and saying, I thought he had a weapon. Now, maybe that's because they see better. I don't think so. It's just that the same fear is not in the minds of black gentlemen. It is a fear that is resident in this particular power system and structure. This fear is also manifested in another major activity within the white supremacy system and culture, one of the most important activities, if you go by the numbers. What am I talking about? A major activity. I don't want to spoil anybody's fun, but ball games. Now, I didn't ask Dr. Charles Murray this, but I could have. Dr. Murray, since you say you're so smart, what are the two series of ball games in the white supremacy system and culture that have come out of the white brain computer? Because the black people didn't create these ball games. We play them with expertise, but we didn't create them. Why did it come out of the white brain computer? These two series of ball games. What are the two series, class? If you read my book, don't answer. No. See, you're looking at it all the time. You're looking at it all the time, but because we were lied to when we were little children and told it was a democracy, and we read Dick and Jane and Spot and Puff and Baby Sally, we were not told what was really the shape and the dynamic of the culture. So we actually are looking at what I'm getting ready to tell you, but we don't see it. But once I decoded what white supremacy was all about, and one Sunday I was in my house and it was so quiet, and your brain functions best when it's real quiet. That's why they train us. Now, this is your soul say, boom, de boom, de boom, de boom, de boom. See, that cuts the computer off. It actually does. It cuts the computer off. It just drowns it out with too much stimulation. They know that. But I said, it's so quiet. I wonder what's happening. Why is it so quiet? See, what's happening? And then I said, oh, the ball games. The ball games are on. And then it just clicked into my computer. These ball games have more significance than we realize. And then it just clicked into my brain computer. It's two series of ball games, Francis. Big brown and small white. And what balls are we talking about, really? These balls. Isn't that something? And what does the culture say? Keep your eye on the ball. See, we thought that meant as the baseball comes towards the bat, you keep watching it. No, it means these balls. You have to keep your eyes on these balls in order to prevent white genetic annihilation. Is that right, class? So every season has to focus on balls. Is that right? What are the ball games that are played by the men that are considered to be most virile, most manly? Big brown. Is that right? Football. And then basketball. And then we have bowling ball. And we'll put soccer over here too. And then over here, we'll put ping pong. Right? Golf, tennis, baseball, right? Now, see, I hear some people saying, this lady is really out of her cotton picking mind. But I think I do know what I'm talking about. Now let's see. Let's see where these ball games go. Where these balls go. A white gentleman told me, Dr. Welsing, do you realize that white men say they are not men until they have had sexual intercourse with a black lady? Gentlemen, see what prizes you have? So what games are played by the most powerful men? What's the ball game that is played by the most powerful men? The president. Golf, a small white. But let's see where the small white ball goes. Long stick held between legs. See where it is? This microphone is really helping too, right? Then puck. Trying to make a hole in one. In the old days, a black man used to stand behind a white man. Is that right? Caddy. Say, boss, I think you want this one. Has anybody ever seen a white golf club? I don't think so. But where does the ball go? In a hole in black Mother Earth. Let's see where the other balls go. Where do the big brown balls go? The football goes where? some white upright legs at the end of the field. I don't want to spoil your game. But this is war. We have to understand. We have to understand. I'm just showing you the subconscious symbolism that makes the point. I didn't make these games up. But once you pull back the curtain of decoding what the culture is really all about, this stuff just jumps up and you say, oh, I see. Oh, wow, look at that. So the big brown football, because the white female has said her ideal mate is who? Tall, dark, and handsome. So therefore, where does the basketball go? The white net. Slam dunking it in. Don't faint, you all. Come on. And who do we have dancing in short dresses on the side? Little white ladies. Is that right? A black girl can hardly get on the squad. Isn't that right? Do you all see how these little symbols fit together? If you're real mature, oh, Jesus, I'll tell you about baseball. Are you all real mature? But before we do baseball, let's do billiards. Or we can do bowling. You see, this big black ball goes down the track and knocks this out, knocks these 10 pins out. See, white supremacy is not something, oh, I ran into some discrimination on my job. No, you are surrounded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Living and breathing and eating and drinking white supremacy nonstop. It's not a little bit of something, it's the whole show. Billards. Big green table. A lot of colored balls on the table. Long stick again. Stick and ball. Long stick takes white ball, knocks all the colored balls under the table. Is that right? Who's the last ball to be knocked in? Meaning most important ball of all, right? All us black people know what the black ball is, right? And the culture says what? You don't want to be caught where? Behind the eight ball. Being caught behind the eight ball, the white supremacy, I need to put this eraser over here. The white supremacy power equation is white over non-white. To be caught behind the eight ball would mean what? Non-white over white equals white genetic, there goes a person, annihilation. Do you all follow? See, when something is being done at the subconscious level, it means you don't have to think about it. And so everything that is done is keeping people, the minority, in touch with what the critical issue on the planet is. They are all clued in. We are not clued in. So now we are getting clued in. Shall I do baseball? See, the elements, the brain computer, when it makes a symbol, it'll take things and contract them so the brain understands, but the elements of baseball, long stick, white ball, triangle. What is triangle? Female, genital. Are you with me, class? What do people eat at baseball games? They eat some peanuts and hot dog in bun. See, I'm not trying to shock you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or be gross. But I want you to appreciate the level of what we are dealing with. And so when mustard, what does the white supremacy culture refer to as buns? Are you with me? You see, and homosexuality is a practice when men start feeling insecure about masculinity. It was the dominant sexual practice in Greece and Rome. And I maintain because they looked across that Mediterranean at all those black men. And by comparison, they felt deficient. And so that meant penis into anus. The anus is the opposite end of the gastrointestinal tract. We feed ourselves by putting food in the gastrointestinal tract. How many people hear their brain computer, I think I need some greens? Raise your hand. See, this is the brain saying you need some vitamin A. In the same way, it will create, put penis in rectum if I feel masculine deficient. Do you, somebody said, oh my goodness. Are you all following me? Do you know that within the framework of the discussion of the bell curve and all the people, so-called scientists, who are saying black people are deficient in terms of intelligence as far as genetics goes, do you realize that one of these esteemed scientists has said, we will have to conclude that the smaller the penis, the higher the intelligence. Do you all understand? Isn't that heavy? To me, that's profound. That they spend time, but I was at Howard University College of Medicine, and there was a white scientist in the Department of Anatomy, who I will not name on this occasion, and he was doing a study measuring the length of black men's penises at, we're better placed than at a black university. Are you all with me? Well, I know Dr. Welsing doesn't really understand what she's talking about, but maybe let's look at smoking objects. What are the two series of smoking objects in the white supremacy system and culture? Here we go again, big brown and small white. Ooh. What, aside from cigarettes, what are cigarettes called in the white supremacy system and culture? You read my book. Cigarettes are called fags. Look in your dictionary. Meaning small white is equated with what? Female and effeminacy. What smoking objects do the most powerful men smoke? Cigars. And I encourage everybody in this room to go to your newsstand where they had a big expensive magazines and look for the magazine, big expensive magazine called Cigars, and it has all these long cigars and how they taste and, you know, their characteristics and how much they cost. The most expensive smoking objects, are they small white or are they big and brown? Big and brown. I didn't make the culture. I have tried to look at it and decode it so we understand what we are dealing with. The white supremacy system and culture wants us to be the clowns of the planet. If you don't believe it, just look at Martin. And this is why this discussion has great importance. Because the white supremacy system and culture says, if I can just turn him into a woman, I'll be home free with white genetic survival. Are they succeeding?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. This is no affront to anybody because we had not decoded what we were dealing with. When I was in undergrad, I used to think, well, it's all about economics. Mm-mm. Neely Fuller Jr. came along and said, white supremacy is a system. And the system operates in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. This is everything we do. The system is carrying out in terms of perception, logic, thought, speech, action, symbols, and emotional response. All, everything is geared to white genetic survival. It's a trick to say it's all about green power. No, you need money to purchase the things that you need and that you want. But it's all a part of the system of white supremacy, what you get, and whether you can keep what you get. So if we begin to understand, oh, it's about white genetic survival, and all you have to think about, well, what are the various routes? What are the various pathways? Like all roads lead to Rome. All the pathways lead to white supremacy as long as it's unopposed. Everything. Well, let's see how we can stop the black male from being able to affect white genetic annihilation. Let's see what we can do. How do we affect all black people, male and female, not understanding what it's all about? So somebody might say, well, Dr. Welsing, every time you turn on the TV, now you see black men sitting up next to their white wives. Isn't that right? Psych. You have to look at that because I say, oh, somebody's saying it's racism and that it's about white genetic annihilation. So we'll show a whole lot of our white women with black men, and we'll show black men who have 15 black women, white women apiece. That'll convince them it's not about white genetic annihilation. But the very moment they're showing that, thousands of black men are dying in the streets. Those few little things that they show you on TV, or pushing the effeminization of black men through the sitcoms and making black people laugh at it because they don't understand what's going on. And they laugh at it, and they have their children laugh at it because they don't understand the whole game is about white genetic survival. Preventing white genetic annihilation, every single thing that they do. A white professor, female at the American University in the District of Columbia, said to me one time, Dr. Welsing, white people talk negatively about black people at all social gatherings. Not some social gatherings, all social gatherings. She said the common assumption is that every white person present agrees. Before she told me this, I said, yes, I know. And that's why when white people say, well, Dr. Welsing, what can I do? I say, tell black people what white people talk about when there's no black people around. Now, I gave a talk last night, and a young black lady said, well, you hate white people. You must hate white people. The Bible says we should love our enemies. Psych. See, it's not about hate. I'm not talking tonight about hate. I'm talking about decoding the game that's on the white side of the chessboard. I'm talking about understanding why we have lost the last 1,000 tournaments because we were not told what the real game on the table was really all about. I say that the IQ that black people should be interested in is the WS in parentheses R IQ. That's the white supremacy racism IQ. How much do we understand about what white supremacy is and exactly how it works? Because it is deadly. We can call it the deadly science. The deadly science. So what else is white supremacy doing other than trying to make absolutely certain that there is mass level of feminization of black men, because if they are effeminized, then the system doesn't have to worry about white genetic annihilation. A child in my office this week, a little boy, 11 years old, mother brought him in because he was refusing to do homework. So I said, sweetheart, what's going on? He said, I have a problem. And then what the child told me, he said, I want an official father. I'm saying it now and my eye is about to water. I want an official father. Little boy sitting in the psychiatrist's office. I want an official father. He said, I know exactly what he's supposed to look like, Dr. Welsing. He's supposed to be tall, and he has a lot of muscles, and he would sit with me and help me do my homework. Do you all hear that? I was trained as a psychiatrist at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Washington, D.C., and taught that black people did not have the intelligence to talk about their feelings. And the best treatment for them was medication. I knew it was a lie. Here's a little child. I want an official father. Years ago in the late 1960s, when I was teaching at Howard University, a parent brought another little boy in. He wasn't studying. So I said, sweetheart, don't you want to work hard in school so you can help black people? 11 years old. What did he say? No. And so, of course, I was floored. You know, the child is supposed to say, yeah. No, he said. Mind you, this is the late 60s, maybe, you know, 69, 70. He said, if you try to help black people, you're going to be killed. I said, 175 IQ. Do you all understand? These little children are perceiving and understanding exactly what the lay of the land is. Just like the little children, if you go to school, you might be killed. In the white supremacy system. Now, why is all of this happening? I say because of what I've been talking about earlier. White supremacy says must dismantle the black king. And this is why I say that the chessboard, everybody ought to have a picture of the chessboard on their icebox. Because what we're dealing with is perfectly analogous to the game of chess. What is the game of chess about? I hear a lot of B answers. I'm looking for A. The game of chess in detail is about the white king checkmating the black king. Isn't that right? Why do I say it? White always moves first. So white is playing what? Offense, defense, and black has to play defense, offense. This is why this is the most important board game in what? The white supremacy system and culture. It's a game about tactics and strategy. Tactics and strategy and tactics and strategy and tactics and strategy. Now somebody say, well, that's an intellectual game. Football is intellectual. Basketball is intellectual. That's just tactics and strategy. It's just that they have convinced us that we're supposed to be genetically inferior in terms of intelligence. Black people created chess. The first chess champion in the United States was a black man. He could pass for white in New Orleans, and so they took him, of course, on their side. So they wouldn't have to say he's black. You see, but this is the game that is about white supremacy preventing white genetic annihilation. And so they've got their whole game completely set up. The way you do it is attack the king off the field, off the board. Attack the black man. Subject him to unemployment. Does anybody know about that? If you subject the family to male unemployment, now there's a lot of people in this audience that say, I'm a single parent, female head of household, and my situation is functioning. I say it's a lot of ladies sat last night and said, I don't need no man. You see, rolling her eyes at me. It's good I knew she was a sister. My sister, my family. You understand? I don't know what you're talking about, Dr. Wellesley. I don't need. That's what the system has taught us to say. See, because we haven't understood white supremacy. And so instead of us seeing that we're at a chessboard, we don't see this top. We're just what? Warring with each other. Down here on the black side of the board. Wondering why we're not winning the tournament. Because we've been lied to, oh, it's another side of the board and something is happening over here. That is affecting everything that is happening on this side of the board. I had decided before I talked to this child in my office this week that I was going to give a paper in August at the National Medical Association entitled The Pain of Black Male Children. I didn't finish the story. The little boy said, if I had a father, Dr. Wellesley, I could do my homework. Do you all understand? See, this is very critical. And what white supremacy has done, it keeps taking away from us. And then we say, well, we can make do. It's okay. We'll get our reward in heaven. I don't think God wants us to say that. Now, it may be nice up there, but it's supposed to be nice down here, too. Not just make do. And if we understand what the game is, we can do better than just make do. But we've got to understand the exact nature of the war that is being waged against us. White supremacy says, I'm going to knock the black king out with unemployment, underemployment. Lady came to my office this week. See, this is just a week of psychiatric practice. I'm a lawyer, Dr. Wellesley, in a big law firm. My husband and I just are not getting along. I think I'm going to be made partner. I just don't understand why we can't communicate. I said, who's bringing home the biggest check? Do you all understand what I'm saying? She said, it doesn't make any difference to me. I said, but it makes a difference to a man. Do you see what I'm saying? She didn't structure it. She says, he keeps saying everything is my fault. I say, he's not bad. You're not bad. We just don't understand white supremacy. I used to tell patients, 90%.
Thirty-six hundred seconds is back, and so are you. My name is Stevenson, and I'm your host. As you know, ordinarily, I am a political op-ed writer for newspapers, magazines, websites across the nation, such as Black Commentator, Political Affairs Magazine, Black Star News, and my own blog, The Buffalo Bullet, or thebuffalobullet.com, where I generally share space with the likes of Gloria Doolin Wilson, Alberta Parrish, Alton Maddox, Charles M. Blow, and Pat Freeman. You can also like 3600 Seconds on Facebook and follow it on Twitter under handle at 3600 Seconds News. We are also on COBTV, at least my show, Pod Policy and Prejudice, and Pat Freeman's Sports Update. Once again, my guest today is a very special one. She has 50 years of experience as a psychiatrist, extensive experience as a resident, fellow, general and private practice psychiatrist, educated at Howard University Medical School. She's best known for a groundbreaking book she wrote back in 1991. It's called The ISIS Paper, The Keys to the Color, based on the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept by Neely Fuller Jr., and her own CREST theory of color confrontation, exploring and examining the practice of white supremacy. Her name is Dr. Frances CREST Welsing. Dr. Welsing, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the show. It is definitely an honor to have you. I read this book some time ago, and one thing that sticks out of my mind throughout all the years that, you know, after I read it, is that you said the idea to write this book, if I remember correctly, came to you based on your watching a TV show that came out in 1974. It's called Good Time. Is that right?
No. Let me go back. Let me give the background. I'm a general psychiatrist and child psychiatrist practicing in Washington, D.C. During the time that I was training in general psychiatry, 1963 to 1966, I started questioning what was making black people mentally ill. And as a physician practicing in psychiatry, when I would take a history on black patients, there was something about racism always in the history when people were talking about the patterns of their lives or what they felt was causing them to be ill. And there was always something about racism in the history of black patients. I used to think that racism was related to economic interactions between people, and I gave that up. And as a physician, because you are required to help people get well, you really need to understand what it is that you are talking about. And so I started looking beyond Marxian theory for what is racism. And fortunately, I met Neely Fuller Jr., a black man who was at that time a guard at the Bureau of Engraving, but he had been writing about racism since his time during the Korean War. And he started thinking and writing about racism as a total system structure for maintaining the power equation of white power over a relative non-white powerlessness. And he had written extensively about this in Racism Encompassing, the system of racism, white supremacy, encompassing all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, and covering patterns of thought, speech, and action. So as a psychiatrist, again, as a physician, I'm wondering, well, why would any people on planet Earth develop such a system? In other words, what was the causation? In medicine, we look for what's the etiology of some process. And so I started thinking about what was causing people who classify themselves as white to develop a system of racism, white supremacy that was local, national, and global. And
so
I
would it be safe to say that you feel that white people in many cases feel that they are
Hello, I'm not hearing all of your question.
Yeah. Okay. Would it be safe to say that white people view themselves as, they view us as their antithesis?
I don't know. Is there something wrong in our connection?
Hang on a second. Question was, would it be safe to say that white people, in many cases, view us as their antithesis?
As what?
Their antithesis, their opposite.
I say people who classify themselves as white. See, I'm not their opposite. I don't know whose idea that is. I'm talking about
that's my concept. Okay. All right. It's a very sharp concept. I was going to ask you about Neely Fleur. Anyway, and you already said that you already met him.
I'm missing half of your question. I don't know what's going on. Your voice is going up and out and up and out.
Really? Okay. Is it safe to say, I'll tell you what, if you do not understand white supremacy or racism, this is one of his quotes, what it is and how it works and everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Those are some of Neely Fleur's words. What do you think he meant by that?
Exactly what he said.
Because a lot of people...
See, in other words, maybe you can...
Go ahead, ma'am.
See, it's not helpful for me to answer what he thinks. You're going to have to interview him. I can tell you what I think.
Okay, yeah. Please do.
Okay, so let me give you my definition of racism. Racism,
mm-hmm.
white supremacy.
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you explain your definition of racism?
I'm giving my definition of racism, white supremacy.
Okay.
It's a local and global power system and dynamic, structured and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, which consists of patterns of perception, logic, symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the ultimate purpose of white genetic survival and to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth, a planet upon which the vast and overwhelming majority of people are classified as non-white, meaning black, brown, red, and yellow, by white-skinned people. And all of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive white-skinned people. Now, that's my definition of racism, white supremacy, which explains why the people who classify themselves as white evolve such a system of power consciously and or subconsciously, because they are a tiny minority population on the planet. As I said, they are genetic recessive in terms of skin coloration, so they could potentially experience white genetic annihilation. If they don't want to experience white genetic annihilation, then they would have to control the 9/10 majority population on planet Earth that is classified by themselves as non-white, meaning the black, brown, red, and yellow people. So if anyone is confused, doesn't have a background in formal genetics,
mm-hmm.
President Obama is an example of white genetic
mm-hmm.
annihilation. His mother was white. His father was a black man. Black being genetically
mm-hmm.
dominant, white being genetic recessive, the product would only be a person of color. So that is what
right.
genetic annihilation means. So it's people who classify themselves as white are the only people who can debate whether they are concerned about white genetic annihilation. I have talked to audiences of people who classify themselves as white and asked the question, do you want your children to be colored? Do you want your grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be colored? I'm polite
right.
and they're polite. Their answer is no. And so I say this means, if you mean that, it means that your behavior construct on the planet is going to be such as to prevent white genetic annihilation, whether consciously and or subconsciously determined. Now, that's the only viable theory about racism, white supremacy on this planet. Nobody else has a one-paragraph definition analysis of why this troubling behavior exists.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, as I told you before the show, not a lot of blacks or black scholars or authors talk about studying white people from that standpoint. You know, they talk mostly about what whites have done to us. You go into
I'm
a
sorry,
history,
they talk about what?
You know, they talk about what whites have done to us, okay, you know, slavery or discrimination or lynchings, things like this. You go into a history of white people, actually studying white people and why they do things, even going so far as to go to a genetic history. So this essentially is what you have done, and this is very different from what we know, even those of us who read a lot of these books are used to reading. You know, so I think it's very, you know, your studies have been very unique from that standpoint.
Well, I would say yes, and it's not a question of an ego trip. See, as a physician,
right.
let's say physicians are interested in solving the problem of cancer, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many different laboratories that are studying different aspects of cancer. And so
mm-hmm.
if Laboratory A has one theory about what cancer is or what a particular kind of cancer is, and Laboratory B, studying the same thing, has another thesis, the answer would
mm-hmm.
be they're not going to be in an ego fight. The question is, who has the information or the level
mm-hmm.
of understanding to solve the problem? See, we're confronted
right.
with people all over, you know, this country has split in half following the Trayvon Martin murder by George
mm-hmm.
Zimmerman, where a person who classifies himself as white, even though he's Hispanic, he classifies himself as white. That means he wants
right.
to be white. So he
mm-hmm.
thinks like people who want to be white. And so
right.
this person killed a black man, a young black man, a teenager. He tracked him like he was tracking an animal. He had
mm-hmm.
a gun. He shot and killed him. The jury ended up with not guilty, made up of people who classify themselves as white. It's my understanding that the one person who was Hispanic even classified herself as white. So
and she doesn't. I've seen her. She doesn't look that white at all.
Well, she doesn't look that way to you.
Yeah.
See, it's not a question. There are many
right.
Hispanics.
Right.
who are dark-skinned, but they classify
yeah.
themselves as white because they want to be white. So if you want
you.
To be white, you have to think like white people. if you want to be accepted
to,
as white.
She's referring to a juror B-29, who had yet to give her real name, even though she allowed her face to be shown on national TV. But George, I could look at George and still say he's white. You know, I could see, okay, I see some brown in him, but, you know, he's still pretty much
in
white.
In other words,
this lady looked like
how do you classify yourself in a system
right.
of racism
mm-hmm.
that begins to determine how you think? The classification means something.
Right.
It's just like when black people call themselves the N-word. That
mm-hmm.
means something. It means they have very little respect for themselves, whether they understand it or not, because of what that word means. But
mm-hmm.
I wanted to go forward and say that the case represents the quintessential issues involved
mm-hmm.
in the system of racism. White supremacy
right.
has to be able to kill black men at will. Anytime a
yeah.
white person says, I'm afraid, I can feel justified in killing a black person, especially a black man, because
mm-hmm.
it is men who can impose sexual intercourse, whether it's a white slave master or whether it's a yellow person, so-called, or any shade of person. Only men can impose sexual intercourse. Females cannot impose sexual intercourse. And so if a group of people are concerned about their genetic survival, they have to be concerned about the male persons in the group that they are fearful of. And that's why black
right.
men during a major period in black history were lynched and castrated.
Mm-hmm.
There's no black history of black men tampering with the genitals of white men. No
right.
history whatsoever. Because black
mm-hmm.
men consciously and or subconsciously do not have to be fearful of genetic, recessive genetic material in terms of skin coloration. But if white
well, you
people...
know, one mm-hmm. I noticed one dichotomy, okay? I noticed, like you say, how sensitive white men are about their women dating black men. These same white men, however, seem to be running from sex with white women at the same rate that black running from bullets. You understand what I'm saying?
No. You
so
say they're
words,
running from?
Yes. The white men are not really white. The white population, the world white population is shrinking. So they're not really, the white men aren't really being as sexual with white females as they are. They want you to think they are. But white females are
me.
Going.
See,
going,
I'm not understanding what you're saying. You say white
I'm
men
saying
are
another
not
word.
What?
White men are really not pursuing, even though they hate for black men to get with white females, they are not pursuing white females as strongly as I suspect they want people to believe they are.
Well, white men say they're not men until they have had sexual intercourse with a black woman.
Ah.
Now, that's the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Within the white collective. White females say their ideal mate is tall, dark, and handsome. Now, what is
mm-hmm.
the common denominator? People who cannot produce skin color find themselves being attracted to the people who can produce color. Black people, of all of the non-white people on the planet, have the greatest genetic potential to produce the black pigment melanin that gives our skin color, gives our eyes color, gives our hair color. And plus it's located, melanin is located throughout the body in different parts of the body and the nervous system. So this is
right.
what I'm maintaining, that people who want to discuss racism or discuss mm-hmm. race. Any discussion of race is a discussion of racism. Otherwise, there's no point mm-hmm. in discussing race. So if they are interested in it, but if they don't want to deal with a fundamental analysis that takes into consideration the fact that white can experience genetic annihilation, which is what is disturbing to the people who classify themselves as white, because they are being told that they are beginning to become a minority,
yeah.
not only throughout the world, but in the area of the world that is called America. And so I maintain that this is why there is a feverish purchasing of guns and why there cannot be gun control in a population of people who classify themselves as white, who feel that they are surrounded by a majority population of people of color. Now, this is what has been happening historically, and this is what is happening at the present time. Nobody else...
You are listening to 3600 Seconds. My guest is Dr. Frances Chris Helsing. If you have a question or a comment for her, you feel free to dial 424-203-9538. Not to cut you off, Dr. Helsing. You mentioned guns, and certainly, like you said, the sales of guns have gone up. The symbolism of white man's greatest invention, one of his greatest inventions, is the gun. Does this relate to Zimmerman always having a gun?
Well, again, it's what shall I say? People who classify themselves as white, particularly male persons who classify themselves as white, consciously, subconsciously use the gun as their genitals. In other words, they look at the black man. They think, well, his genetic material is more powerful. So it really is the perception that the black man's genetic material is a weapon, which explains why "I thought he had a weapon" is always their excuse. The man could be taking out his keys to enter his house. "I thought he had a weapon." Well, consciously and probably much of it is subconscious, they are thinking about the black man's genitals, the genital apparatus, which the testicles contain the genetic material. And so the gun becomes, in their own language, the great equalizer. He has genetic material that can annihilate me. I have weapon, can do same thing. So that's what stands your ground. You can have a gun anytime you want. Well, how many times, under what all circumstances, are the white male collective thinking consciously, subconsciously about the dominance of the black man's genetic material? I would say that's 100% of the time, which is why black men, racism, white supremacy is a war against black people in general and black male persons in particular, which is why black men are locked up in these prisons. It takes $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year to incarcerate one man. Now, why not that man be given a job and paid the same amount of money he can support himself, support a marriage, and support two children? But no, they would rather have the black man unemployed, depressed, buying drugs, and then being incarcerated. So then he is no longer a threat. And after he gets out of prison, he can't vote, he can't get housing, he can't get a loan, he can't do anything. So he has been effectively neutralized. Now, the reason being, and this discussion is not for any black person to be tripping off and spending not one second hating white people. This is not a discussion about hating white people. This is a discussion about solving the biggest problem that exists on the planet. And that is the problem of racism, white supremacy. And more important than the problem itself is the denial of racism on the part of people who classify themselves as white, and secondarily on the part of black people who have been taught to be afraid of white people. Black people know
you have this theory now of a post-racial society taught by white supremacists, you know,
I'm sorry.
Okay. You have this this theory now called a post-racial society.
That's not a theory. That's ignorance. We don't have anything post-racial.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's
going around nowadays, unfortunately.
See, it's the language of the system of racism, white supremacy is the lie. Everything is a lie. We are not post-racial. Even the black man who is president has received more death threats than all the other presidents in history combined. He is being demeaned on a daily basis, ridiculed, demeaned, disrespected, as no other president has been demeaned and disrespected, because he is a black man. He is an intelligent, brilliant person. But the white genetic survival response is we have to make him fail. So we will not pass any legislation that supports any of his ideas. We cannot allow the black man to succeed. Now, the mindset is behind this behavior is what I am talking about. And no one is seriously interested in solving the problem of race and racism without dealing with the theory of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. I say that categorically.
I want to get into one of your theories, your theory of albinism or albino.
I don't have a theory of albinism. Wait a minute. Please. I don't have a theory of albinism. Albinism is a genetic disease, not defined by Francis Welsing, defined in the science of genetics. Am I making myself clear? That is not my theory. I am a physician.
I understand. You didn't invent the word or anything, but you apply it to the origin of white people. That's the first time I've heard of that.
White skin is albinism. The definition of albinism is the inability for cells in our skin called melanocytes to produce melanin because of the deficiency of the enzyme tyrosinase. Now, this is not Francis Welsing's theory.
Okay. Very interesting concept, because based on that, basically what I remember reading in your book, you said that this developed first in Africa among some African tribes, and, of course, these people, as they got older, were cast out. And as they went up,
said African people.
Or African people, okay, African people.
I mean, in other words, all people who produce pigment might have a genetic mutation to albinism. I have theorized that the albino mutants that were produced in Africa, because black people are the first people, you know that, right? They're the mothers and fathers of everybody on the planet, including white people. Black people are the only people who can produce all of the colors. So if you go from the blackest black to a mutation to albinism, and you mix the two, you get all of the colors in the middle. So I theorize because...
Go ahead.
Where should I start?
You said you theorize because...
I theorize that the albinos that were produced on the continent of Africa thousands of years ago, if they were chased out of Africa, they would go directly north to Europe. And that's where, that's basically considered the home of the people who classify themselves as white.
Yes. Eventually it will become Europe, I guess. You know, if you do this over thousands of years, you have different European people, Russian, Italian, Polish, whatever. They all, you know what I'm saying, Irish, whatever the case may be. This obviously took place over a long period of time. Okay.
Well, you know, you have all different types of groups of people on the African continent. You have 800 different languages on the continent of Africa. Likewise, in the area that is called Europe, you have people breaking up into different groups by the different names that you have mentioned.
Oh, yeah. We have a caller. I don't know if he's just listening. Ma'am, you have a question? If not, that's okay. Some people might just be calling in just to listen in. More on Zimmerman.
Oh, I have a question.
You know, right now, you have
Hello?
A question? Go ahead.
I, excuse me. I was just wondering if Dr. Wesley could answer a question for me.
Oh, wait, go right ahead, please.
Okay. I was wondering, are you a member of ASCAC?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay.
All right. My thing is, once again, getting on the, getting us back to George Zimmerman, because this poor soul is driving through Texas probably right now, minding his own business. But George Zimmerman created a lot of narcissists. You know what
created
I'm saying?
A lot of...
narcissists. In other words... to me, he compromised the American public's common sense to a great degree. Okay, like the Rodney King did with you know, regarding the LAPD. In other words, he compromised common sense. He compromised our view of assault and battery. Okay, I think his columnist Eric Wadra, he pointed out that you don't have to be physical to assault. He compromised our view of self-defense. He compromised a lot of our thinking. In a lot of ways where people are now looking at, they're looking at, you know, following people, assaulting people, getting physical with people differently than they previously did, I feel, before that situation made the news. Okay, so now, it all started with race. Yes. Zimmerman used race. He called the police, used racial buzz terms. Hoping to get the police there sooner, you know, this guy, he looks like he's on drugs. How do you know he looks like he's on drugs? You know, I think he's, as a matter of fact, he's checking me out, you know, and they're like, wait, you following this guy? Don't do that. We wish you wouldn't do that. But after that, based on, you know, in between, we wish you wouldn't do this. And when Zimmerman was talking to his friend, and she overhears him saying, get off of me, get off of me. And that's the last thing she heard of him. And 1 minute later, he's dead. A lot of people, a lot of their viewpoints of right and wrong began to be compromised. You understand what I'm saying, Dr. Wilson?
Well, I would just say, basically, the George Zimmerman killing of Trayvon Martin is no different than the hundreds of thousands of other cases where white male persons have gone in pursuit of black male persons with the idea in mind that they were going to kill the black male person. This is the substance of American history. And this case plays it out 21st century by concluding that this most recent case, that the person is not guilty and that basically he can stand his ground, and as a person who classifies himself as white, he can kill a black man simply by saying, I was afraid of him. So this is codified in white genetic survival. And so I'm calling for, if there are courageous people who classify themselves as white, I'm calling on them. They should come forward and talk. There's a very important book that is called Breaking Rank by a man, white man, whose name is Norm Stamper. He's a retired police officer. He has a chapter in his book addressed to what white police officers think about black men. So people who can be honest and who tell the truth are heroic in this time. We need people who will come forth and tell the truth, not be in denial about deadly practices such as occurred in Stanford, Florida, with the killing of Trayvon Martin. And it's also calling upon the large number of black people who are in denial about racism. Black people themselves do a lot of wishful thinking, wanting to believe that the problem does not exist. And I say, maybe Trayvon Martin, I hear him crying from the grave. Wake up, black people. Wake up and respect yourselves and face the reality of what is happening. The first black attorney general, the brilliant man Eric Holder, he asked the question several years ago, are we a nation of cowards being unable to talk about racism? Are we a nation of cowards unable to talk about racism? Now, I tell people
I got one final question. On that same note, do you think Obama and Holder will order a federal trial?
Do I think President Obama will order a trial? I don't know. I do not know. But I think that black people as a collective, those people who are deciding that they are going to be awake and not dreaming, that they can decide if there's no trial, then they can just black out the holidays, meaning that there's no turkey buying, no Christmas tree buying, no Christmas gift buying, that this will be their statement about justice. They want justice to rain down like Dr. Martin Luther King talked about. White supremacy, racism, is the opposite of justice. Now, I say that it's understandable to me as a psychiatrist. A group of people, 15th century, beginning with Columbus, people who classify themselves as white, started coming out of Europe and circumnavigating the planet. They didn't even know the planet was round. They thought it was flat. But Columbus began the voyages of discovery. And I say what they discovered was every place on the planet, the people were colored people.
Right.
The only place there were white people was in Europe, that area of the world. And if the men in those voyages, I guess if they were sexually frustrated and they had sexual relations with the colored women, and it took 9 months for the boats to be repaired, they realized all the children ended up looking like their mothers, their colored mothers.
Yeah.
And
right.
So they could realize that white could disappear. So what
mm-hmm.
they learned from that was, if we are going to survive, we have to control the entire planet of colored people. They have to be under our control. And that's Neely Fuller's equation of white power over a relative non-white powerlessness. We have to kill them or motivate them to kill each other and kill themselves.
Thank you for coming on the show. We're going to have to cut this short. I hope to have you on in the future. This has been
important. And I commend you for having a very important discussion. This is the most important discussion that any people in this part of the world can be talking about at this time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you all for listening to 3600 Seconds. My name is Chris Stevenson. Stay tuned. Next week, have a safe week.
Good joke. I found out a good use for black people. You can haul them out when they're dead and make them into wetsuits.
Sorry about that, brothers and sisters. We had a little break in audio. We are trying to get things back online. Give us one quick second here. We've been listening to Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, and what we shall do is play this last minute from Dr. Francis Quest Wilson. This clip will be talking about, can you protect your melanin? We know that Dr. Francis Quest Wilson is the author of, if you don't already have it in your role, in your library, the ISIS papers. Should also have in your library, as she's referenced, the works of Dr. Neely Fuller. And I would also add, we are constantly playing the works of Dr. Amos Wilson. If you have Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, Dr. Neely Fuller, and Dr. John LeGrew, you were pretty much, and I would say, who else are we going to add to that? Dr. Harriet Washington, you will pretty much have a very strong library as far as not only understanding so-called global white supremacy, but overcoming, which is most important. So we're going to play this last clip, and we thank you for listening. Black Power.
But the critical question is, can we protect melanin? And they're saying up in our faces, you can't do anything about what I decide to do to you. Now, if we don't look at that challenge, if we direct our attention to other things. A massive movement is going on melanin is being destroyed. But the system of white supremacy says, I will be able, by offering grants, I will be able by offering jobs, to tell you that you are the cause of the death of black people. I'll be doing it, but I'll make you focus on yourself and try to figure out how you can destroy one another. I'll do it to you in Rwanda. I'll set up the Hutu and I'll set up the Tutsis. I will give each group all the weapons they need. And I say, now I have taught you to hate your melanated selves. Now you fight each other. I'll do it to you on the streets in Los Angeles. I'll set up one group the Crips and another group the Bloods. I'll set up all kind of Muslim groups and say, fight each other. I know I can get you to do it because I have programmed you for thousands of years to hate black. But if we don't see that this war is on the table, we will go off focusing on something else altogether, and the slaughter will continue. So I say, and I know you've heard me say this before, that when I say that the system of racism, white supremacy, is the critical thing that we must focus on, because that is what is waging war against us. The white people came up with a plan some years back, Global 2000, in which they said it's too many people of color on this planet. By the year 2000, it's necessary to get rid of 2 billion. They are about business. They are about serious business, removing as they deem necessary the people of melanin on this planet. If we do not understand and make an analysis that this is fundamental, it is this dynamic that is taking us out. Everything that we look at, everything else, I believe, and I could be wrong, but as it comes to me, it will be in vain. Everything that we are studying is important. Everything that we look at has high-level significance. But if we are not understanding this massive war and what is at stake, I believe we will not be able to apply our energy force in a laser-type manner so that we really begin to neutralize the war that is coming at us. To me, it is critically essential for us to develop or to articulate a new world order of dialogue. At each and every turn, we have to be saying to the white side of the chessboard, to the people globally who classify themselves as white. There's no other reason for people to classify themselves as white on this planet other than for the purpose of practicing white supremacy. And so if we begin to escalate, I'm going to ask the people if they let the little babies be quiet, because they're running up and down is getting at me at this late hour. We have to be able to dialogue back to them and say, we understand this war that is being waged against us, because if we don't label it for what it is, then they'll just keep that train rolling against us, and we just look up and more black people are dead everywhere. But we're not telling them, look, we understand what you're doing, and we understand precisely why you are doing it. They are working very, very hard to get us away from talking about racism, white supremacy. They are working very hard. Let's change the dialogue. Let's force them into a change of dialogue. We can do it by giving them grants to talk about multiculturalism, by giving them grants to talk about diversity, to tell them, oh, we don't talk about racism any longer. All this talk about victimization, that's ridiculous. And so trying to slide us away from proper focus, but we have to hold the line and stay on course. Say, you can talk about diversity if you want. Why don't you sit over there and write the definition of what you mean by diversity? You can focus on multiculturalism if you want. This is our dialogue to the white side of the chessboard. Sit over and define what it is that you're talking about. I've asked them, what do you mean by diversity? They can't answer it. What do you mean by multiculturalism? They can't answer it. These are play words and play concepts that they try to get us to focus on so we will not be keeping our eye on the proverbial ball. We have to say, no, we're going to hold the line. You can talk about whatever it is that you want. But all of our ancestors and all of the scholars and all of the people who have gotten old trying to show us how to focus, everything our grandparents ever said to us is these people are doing something that is unjust and incorrect. And mind you, I'm not saying hate white people. I'm not saying disrespect white people. If you sit down to play a game of chess, you can't beat your opponent if you're getting wound up in hate. If you go on the basketball court or the football field and intend to beat your opponent, you cannot do it if you, I hate them. No. Know that they're coming on the field to play their very best hand. And if you're confident in yourself, you can say, hey, play your best game. I'm ready for you. Because I'm going to be playing my best game. What is at stake is whether we are going to have justice on this planet. White supremacy is antithetical to justice. You cannot have white supremacy and have justice at the same time. I believe that the system of white supremacy puts the people that they say who are supposed to know about justice in black robes, because you have to have melanin to understand what balance in this universe really is. So we are the people who are peculiarly suited to bring justice to this planet. I believe that is our mission. Somebody told me that Mahatma Gandhi, somebody said, what, ask him, what is the purpose or the role of the Negro? And he is supposed to have answered by saying, the Negro will bring justice to planet Earth. And I believe that that is correct because we are the mothers and fathers of everybody on this planet. It's not even open to argument. If you know fundamental biology, you know that white can only produce white. But crystal black can produce a mutation to albinism, and that will be a white person. Someone just brought me a picture from some of the orphans, all of the hundreds of thousands of black children who have been orphaned by this white supremacy orchestrated war in Rwanda. But the picture was significant because it was all of these little children who no longer have mothers and fathers, sleeping on little pallets on the floor, one next to another. But right there in the center of that picture was a little albino Rwandan child. You see, so that black producing white is not a mystery in biology. Black people are the only people, by producing a mutation to albinism, crossing the albino with the black, that you get the entire color spectrum that we call mankind or humankind. If they can get us to deviate from that understanding, that's an understanding that they produce. But they are busy now, for example, many of the zoos who have albino tigers, the white tigers that they boast about. Many of them are now saying, oh no, in our zoo right here in Washington, D.C., oh no, that's not an albino. That's just a white type. No. That's an albino tiger. The mother and father were brown tigers. But then you can make one albino tiger and eventually you can get another one if they're male and female, mix them together, and then you start producing a white race of albino tigers. So that the question of who is the first person on this planet should not even be a question to anyone who knows basic biology. Somebody told me that black people used to say, I received this secondhand, that in the ghettos where they have us living, cramped, overcrowded, and also not necessarily clean sometimes, and roaches would be proliferating. And somebody said black people used to insult each other by saying, you got so many roaches, you even have some white ones. That after you have a buildup of a population at a certain level, you begin to get some mutations to albinism. So I had never heard that. But that's what I was told. So like I said, I wrote the Crest Theory of Color Confrontation 1968-1969, presented it for the first time at the National Medical Association section on neurology and psychiatry. Since I wrote that paper discussing why white people behave in the way that they do, I have been waiting for another person to write a theory to explain white people's behavior, and primarily white people. I asked them, do you have another explanation for why white people behave in the way that they do, other than their fear of genetic annihilation on a planet where they are dominated numerically by people of color, and also genetically, because the ability to produce melanin is a dominant genetic trait that can cause white genetic annihilation. I even had a little ad-like run in the Palm Beach Gazette in Florida. If anybody on this planet has a better explanation, please send it to me. Because I want a theory that's correct. So if mine is not correct, no challenges. No challenges to my saying that white people are mutants. There's a woman, I can't remember the name of the book, 2 weeks ago in the New York Times, a white woman said, we are mutants. How many people saw that? I don't remember. Maybe you know the title of that book. You can tell us later. But she said, we're mutants, talking to fellow white people, and we need to face it. Check that. We're mutants, and we need to face it. So I say that we can proceed with a theory. I was talking at the Black Caucus this afternoon, told a group of people there. The white banker here in the District of Columbia, black people in the, you know, Black History Month, when we can talk about our ideas a little bit freely, that 1 month, without getting into too much trouble. Black people asked me to come and talk at this bank for the black employees, and of course the white people can attend, about racism. And I talked about the Crest Theory. And at the end of the discussion, the white banker, his bank,
came up to me, very polite, very white, white hair, blue eyes. He said, "You're right about what you're saying, but what can you do about it?" You know, I'm saying it kind of up in your face, but he was just polite, shaking my hand, but what can you do about it? Which is the same thing that we're being shown. We'll go into Haiti. Haiti, look at those blue-black people in Haiti. All of that melanin. People who fought white supremacy in a war and won. No, we can wipe it out whenever we want to, and we certainly don't want melanin plus determination coming over to this area of the world and infecting the melanated people who don't always have a whole lot of determination. A mutant might come up that is really melanated and really determined, and then there would be a serious problem. So I believe that it is time for us, if we don't see the war, we're in serious trouble. If we don't see the threat, we are in serious trouble. Down at the Black Caucus, they were giving all the statistics. 66% of black children being born in single-family households. That's not to demean that household. White supremacy is saying, I'm taking away the conditions for enhancing black masculinity. I'm taking away the conditions through which you might produce soldiers to carry on activity on your side of the chessboard. In addition, since I have your situation so strung out and you watch more television than anybody else, I'm going to serve up to you men dressed as women. And I'm going to have you sit there in your frustration. Women and male children. And serve up laughingly in your face, black men dressed as women. Do you all understand me? This is a serious war.